Welcome to New Thinking for a New World, a Tilburg Foundation podcast. I am Alan Stoga, your host. Each week, I bring you conversations with people who think differently about the great issues that are shaping our world. Geopolitics, disruptive tech, mass migration, the changing climate, culture wars, all of it is grist for our mill. I hope you enjoy listening. I also hope you will let me know what you think and that you join the conversation at tilburgfoundation.org. And now for today's episode of New Thinking for a New World. "'Tis the mind that makes the body rich." Taming of the Shrew. What do Shakespeare, neuroscientist Rafa Yuste, and human rights lawyer Jared Gensler have in common? They all believe that it is our brains that make us human. Yuste and Gensler take that fundamental belief and add their own coda. Therefore, it is essential to define and protect mankind's neural rights. And together they are working to do exactly that, one American state and one national government around the world at a time. Rafa and Jared have something else in common. They are both past winners of the Tilburg SNF Eliason Global Leadership Prize. Indeed, that's how they met and began their collaboration. Listen to this special spotlight episode as Yuste and Gensler discuss the urgency and the recent success of their advocacy campaign. Then tell us what you think, and please nominate a leader for this year's prize.
Dr. Yuste, can you tell us a little bit about what neural rights are, why people should care about them, and what it is you're trying to do at the Neural Rights Foundation?
All right, so this all has to do with neurotechnology. It's important to first describe what it is. And these are methods and devices to do two things, to either record the activity of the brain and to change it. And these methods, these tools can be electrical, can be wearables that you put on top of your head or inserted inside your brain. They can be optical using lasers. They could be magnets like brain scanners. But at the end of the day, that's all they do. They either record the activity of the brain or they change the activity of the brain. And that's great for scientists like ourselves and for medics, for medical professionals, clinicians that need to diagnose and treat brain diseases. But it turns out that the brain is not just another organ of the body. It happens to be the organ that generates all of our mental and cognitive abilities in humans. I'm talking about our thoughts, our memories, our imagination, our perception, our emotions, even our subconscious, what we don't know that we have with us up there, it's generated by the brain. So that method that allow you to measure brain activity and change it, by definition, these same methods will allow you sooner or later to measure mental activity and change it. And this has deep ethical and societal implications because mental activity is what defines us as human beings. We're essentially our minds. We're the cognitive species. Everything we do is based on our brain. So this neurotechnology, which has a great potential for medicine and research, opens up for the first time in history the ability for humans to go into the organ that makes us human. And this is where neural rights come about. Our position, the position of the Neural Rights Foundation, which I founded with Jared Gensler and with Jamie Davis, is that this neurotechnology touches the core of human rights issues, no? And that we need additional protection to the existing human rights regulation around the world and to legislations on technology to ensure that neurotechnology is used judiciously, so that it does not open up a breach in terms of our mental privacy, our mental identity, our own behavior. And these things remain off limits from technology because they define our core values, which is what makes us human.
Mr. Gensler, can you tell us a little bit about your recent efforts in the state of Colorado around neural data and protection? And what are the implications of the legislation there, both in the state of Colorado and beyond Colorado?
So first, by way of context, there are two kinds of neurotechnologies. There are neurotechnologies that are invasive, meaning implantable devices that are put in place via neurosurgery. And then there are wearable devices like hats, helmets, and wristbands. We're not actually focused on at all the former category because implantable neurotechnology devices are regulated heavily as medical devices and are, and when they generate neural data, that neural data is protected under healthcare privacy laws at the federal and state level in the United States and around the world. So our focus, just to be clear here, are about the wearable devices that are consumer products, which actually all use medical grade brain scanning devices, primarily EEG scanners. Because that data is not gathered in a medical context, is actually subject to no regulation at all. And so what we found is in looking around at state privacy laws in the United States, and there are 15 states that have data privacy laws for citizens of those respective states, that they actually all included an unintended loophole, which is that neural data gathered outside of a medical context would not actually be considered protected data under these laws. This is a major problem because of the sensitivity of that data. And this exclusion was not intentional, but rather came from what neural data actually is, which is electrical and not biological or biometric. And as a result, what we've just done in Colorado is amended the Colorado Privacy Act to include neural data among a definition of biological data that is now protected as sensitive personal information in the state of Colorado. Governor Polis has just signed this bill into law, making Colorado the first state in the nation to have such a law protecting neural data in a state privacy law. California is pursuing a similar law right now. And it's important to emphasize that in both of these contexts, and also in Minnesota, which is doing a similar kind of thing, it has been really almost unanimous support from state legislators to advance this bill, these bills. In Colorado, for example, the vote was 61-1 in the Colorado House and unanimous in the Colorado Senate to make this change to protect neural data. In the California Senate committee vote, it was 11-0. And so this, I think, shows that most ordinary people, when they understand that consumer products gather gigabytes to terabytes of medical-grade neural data, that of course this should be protected in the same kind of way as biometric data or genetic data or their biological data.
A world under stress like ours needs better leaders in every discipline and in every country. Leaders whose work is innovative, courageous, rooted in universal values, and global in approach or implication. If you know someone like that in your company, in your university, in your community, anywhere, please nominate her or him for the Tilburg SNF Eliasson Global Leadership Prize. Nominations will open on March 15th. For more info, check out tilburgprize.org.
So as a follow-up question, would you say then that this is not a partisan issue?
I would say this is definitely not a partisan issue. I think most people understand that this is very, very important to do once they understand what this, that this is medical grade data we're talking about and what can be decoded from that data. I'd also note quite importantly that these developments in various states are of enormous importance to also ultimately move federal legislation in Washington to protect neural data. Under U.S. law, there is actually no general data privacy and consumer privacy law that has ever been adopted. In the United States, there are only protections for two kinds of consumer data at the federal level. One is healthcare data, and the other is financial data of individual consumers in the United States. It's our view that, if you can protect at the highest levels of concern average Americans' financial data, then surely the neural data it comes from their own brains. I had medical grade quality should at least be entitled to similar protections.
So as a final question, can you share a little bit about what your upcoming projects are, what you're working on now, and what we can expect going forward?
Well, so the NeuroRights Foundation just recently launched an important report on consumer neurotechnology products, evaluating the policy documents of 30 companies that have products that are publicly available for purchase. And our overall analysis when we benchmarked the policy documents against global privacy standards was that we found an enormous gap between what companies are supposed to do under global privacy standards and what they're actually doing. We hope this will be a clarion call for action to move federal legislation in Washington, which will be a top priority of the Neural Rights Foundation. We also want to work collaboratively with other major global NGOs to develop model user agreements and privacy agreements for companies that want to do the right thing and want to undertake these activities in compliance with their obligations under these kinds of standards. But my colleague, Rafa, I'm sure will have more to add on this.
Yeah, we're busy working both at the national and international level, again, with the private industry, with regulators. Probably our next stop in this crusade is going to be Washington, D.C., to try to engage the U.S. Senate. And internationally, we're working in different countries. I should mention also in response to the question about bipartisan issues that already 2 years ago, we sponsored a constitutional amendment to Chile's existing constitution that was to protect brain activity and the information that comes from it. And that amendment was passed unanimously in the Chilean Senate and in the Chilean House, in spite of the fact that they're politically very divided down there. And something very similar happened in Brazil in the state of Rio Grande do Sul, which is one of the most progressive states in Brazil. Last year, the state assembly amended the state constitution to incorporate neural rights protection. And they did it also unanimously. And in this case, there were 16 different political parties that agreed. And supposedly that had never happened in the history of that state. So this is a bipartisan issue. Again, it's a global issue. We're working at different levels. And I just wanted to end by thanking the Tauber Foundation for their support and also for connecting us together, because Jared and I would have never worked together. We have never met unless we cross each other in an airport by chance. Unless we were introduced to each other by the Tauber Foundation.
Thank you for listening to this episode of New Thinking for a New World. I'm Alan Stoga, podcast host, and I look forward to your joining our next conversation. Remember, tell us what you think at taubergfoundation.org.